Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Marvel Classification Podcast. Is that the name? That's not the name. I'm your host, Albie. We're still workshopping that name. We'll get it eventually. It'll be somewhere by the time you listen to this. Joining me today on this lovely podcast, my co-host, Pop Cans.
Yes, hello. Hello, yes.
Hello. Nobody will ever know the other podcast we did, the other intro where I called you by your real name. Nobody will ever know that. So what's up? Hi. How we doing? We're here to talk about Iron Man 2, the second of the Iron Mans, of the three. Let's start then with like a brief summary. If you don't know Iron Man 2, you got Mr. Robert Downey Jr. back as Tony Stark. And this time around, there's a Russian dude who like knew his father, and got, but like his father got deported back to Russia at some point, got arrested for smuggling drugs or something. Some bad stuff happened with this Russian dude. His dad passed away in the opening of this movie, and that makes him angry at Tony Stark, because he looks at Tony and goes, "Hey, my dad used to do similar things to him. Why didn't my dad make it to be the rich billionaire media mogul?" And so he plots his revenge against Tony Stark. All the while, Tony, suffering from palladium poisoning from his giant chest reactor that powers his magnet that's keeping the fragments of the bomb that hit him in Iraq in the first movie away from his heart, is slowly losing his mind. Tony Stark is like going on a somewhat suicidal drinking madness tour here.
Yeah, I think it's just the alcohol doing it. I don't think he's losing his mind.
He's not losing his mind, but you don't know. I don't know. He's struggling with alcohol abuse. He's struggling with issues of that, and all kind of in a kind of suicidal venture because he can't quite figure out how to make the palladium core not kill him slowly. So he's burning it at both ends, basically. And this all comes at the same time the U.S. government is starting to crack down on Iron Man because they want control of the Iron Man suit for whatever purposes they want to use it for. This is all nested also in contractor Justin Hammer of the U.S. government, who is a rival of Tony Stark, trying to in effect, beat Tony Stark to the Iron Man game. And this is kind of all centered around that kind of stuff as well. So it's kind of a multi-dimensional plot. At some point, Justin Hammer gets the Russian guy out of jail after he attempts an assassination attempt against Tony when he is racing at Monaco Grand Prix.
Because that's how F1 works. Story. Anyone can just drive an F1 car.
Yep, anyone can drive an F1 car. You just walk up and you just start driving the F1 car. That's what you do. When you own it, you can just drive it.
You don't have to be under a certain weight or anything, but yep.
Yep. And that's it. And that's pretty much the story. Justin Hammer breaks his guy out of jail, makes him work on his competitive Iron Man suits. And it all goes wrong. And there's your plot. It all goes terribly wrong. Tony Stark eventually figures out, with the help of Nick Fury, played iconically by Samuel L. Jackson in this movie, how to make a better element rather than palladium to power his chest reactor. And this allows him to then stop Justin Hammer's robots from destroying the Stark Expo. That's about it. And then they
going on a rampage because Russian dude hijacked.
Because Russian dude hacked all the robots because he was working on the robots, but he was actually an evil guy because everybody would tell the evil guy he was an evil guy. There you go.
We're also formally introduced to Black Widow.
Yep, formally introduced to Black Widow, who's working undercover as a secretary for Tony Stark during this movie, which everybody can tell because It's the actress. It's the pretty lady might actually have more going on than just a secretary, but what can you do? It's cool. It's a cool plot. I think overall it's a very watchable plot. It's not like, I think it's sometimes a little unfocused. I think there's a little too many moving pieces, but overall I think it's decent plot wise. Anything? What did we say we're gonna do now?
We're gonna start from the beginning and talk about the scenes we want to. Chronologically, and alternating.
All right. Well, we'll start from the very, very beginning. The Russian scene is really weird. It doesn't really explain a whole lot. It's like this opening of this movie, and his dad dies, and you kind of like, okay. I mean, it kind of sets up like, oh, he's fixated on Tony in a way, but I felt like by the time we see that guy again, like, I could have used a few more scenes with him of, like, doing stuff. He's just building a thing in like, a barren cave with a box of scraps. Like, it feels like a very allusion to the first movie where Tony has to build his Iron Man suit. You just see Russian dude played by, what's his name? York, right? Mickey Rourke. As Ivan Vlanko. You see him kind of just pounding on metal and building his Iron Man suit in this, like, cavernous house. Which is like, it's like... And then that's the next time you see him is at Monaco. So it's this weird thing where it feels sort of disconnected from the rest of it. Go
ahead. Yeah, I didn't connect the pieces that the guy from the beginning was the guy at Monaco until, like, here, I get right now, I guess. Yeah, the beginning scene is not... That's a nothing scene, really. I don't think it really achieves anything.
No, yeah. And it goes on a while. I mean, it's like a 10-minute scene, almost.
3 minutes. Okay.
You know, it's a longer scene, though. Go ahead. Your turn, Pop. What scene do you want to highlight? What one do you want to talk about?
I mean, I guess the next one is obviously the Stark Expo, which has this happened, like, 20 times a year? Like,
I want it to. I was saying when we were watching this, man, Disney, they own that. Why not do, like, an actual Stark Expo at Disneyland in Florida? Like, that would be so incredible. Just bring in a bunch of tech guys, bring in a bunch of, like, newfangled stuff, and do a real fake Tony Stark Expo thing. I think that'd be fun.
I mean, they already have the World of Tomorrow, so... I guess.
And who even goes to the World of Tomorrow stuff? Just bring in, like, a real deal?
Probably a lot of people, I imagine.
Okay, sure. But, you know, do it like a Tony Stark Expo thing there. That'd be cool. Like, an actual event rather than just a land, just do an event there at World of Tomorrow, like once a year or something like that, where you get in the newest technology, like a big thing. It'd be cool. I don't know.
Yeah, we're seeing the scene that the beginning of how big his ego may be as Iron Man. So, and
oh yeah, his ego's huge. I mean, he's backup dancers dressed as Iron Man. Very attractive backup dancers dressed as Iron Man. It's weird.
Okay, now put your pants back on.
I can't.
But yeah, I didn't really enjoy this scene either that much. It's kind of weird. I don't know. It does what it needs to, I guess.
It feels like it's just there to be like, it's all glitz and glam. It's just the setup that Tony is a little bit of an eccentric person and also very rich to own this giant area that seems to only get used for the Stark Expo. So... World of Tomorrow, whatever. Like, how often did that place get used before this? Is it like a town? Is it like a Flushing Springs? It's like, I don't understand. But I guess it's cool. I don't know. It's a cool, like, the music comes on, which they must have paid a lot of money for, and it's good. I like it. Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC, I believe is the song. Next scene that I think is really neat is probably Monaco? No, actually, it's probably the Senate scene, right? Where the U.S. government asked Tony Stark to testify in front of Congress, and that is a great scene in context today, because it's just weird and, like, boy, is it aged badly, or is it aged really great? What do you think about that scene?
I mean, I don't like it at all, pretty much. Like,
you don't like the set of testifying scene?
No, it feels so fucking unrealistic. That's not how this would happen.
No, yeah, I mean, it never would happen that way, but it also is, like, weird in context with all the stuff that's going on in the world. Like, it's weird. It's like, I don't need to testify for you, you're all a bunch of... It's very strange. It's like, I don't know. I connected it so much with what stuff's going on today for some reason. Like, it resonated with me in a weird way, especially with, like, to bring this expert in, and he'll testify and whatever. It's, I don't know. It's a cool moment. Also, I like Justin Hammer being introduced. I think they should bring him back in future stuff in the MCU, because I like Justin Hammer a lot. He's a lovable asshole.
I wish they made clear who he was during the scene, because it made me confused why he was appearing in later scenes to realize what he was. Yeah,
they could have set up his rivalry with Tony Stark more and what Hammer Tech is. Like, Hammer Tech is very, like, a competitor to Tony in all the stuff, in all the comics and stuff, so they could have set up a better, like, a feel for it. He's such an asshole, though. He's such a little prick. Anyway, he's great. It's a great. It's very played very well. Very well. don't know. I like that scene a lot. Then you get Rhodes come in. He gets to testify, like, one page out of this report. That's the one that, that made me, like, go, like, wait, that's very similar to today, how members of Congress go, like, let's just read this one part of this report that follows our narrative, and then let's not talk about the rest of the report, which might not. It's very, I don't know, I liked it. What's your next scene, Pop? Any other scenes you wanted to talk about? Any other early on scenes you wanted to...
No, I think that's it, honestly. No. The boxing scene, with the, and we're introduced to...
Oh, yes. Black Widow's introduction.
Yes. Where she gets tested by Stark, I guess, by Mr. Tony, and then she kicks the boxer guy's ass, which I just now realized that he is the also the limo driver, so that's nice.
And I believe he's also the director of this movie? Is that not right? Is he not Jon Favreau?
I don't know. Ask me anything.
Let me see here. Jon Favreau. Yep, that's him. He is also the director of this movie. He put himself in this movie.
That's kind of weird, but what do I know? I think it's a really good scene, actually. I think this is a better example of how showing what type of character Tony is. It's just showing what he's about, and obviously showing like his smarts by being able to look up her up easily with his newfangled technology. I really think it's a really good scene.
And also, again, goes to establish that Tony is like not a good guy somewhat, and has issues with ladies, and it's like it's a cool
he's
scene.
Not a very respectful person.
Which is weird, which then people were like all like, oh, Tony Stark, like they all try to emulate him and stuff, but that it's the same thing that happened with Mad Men, where like people are like, oh man, that John Hamm from Mad Men, everybody wants to be him. Which is like, no, he's not a good guy. Like, they're establishing he's not a good guy. Anyway. I think the next good scene is definitely Monaco.
Monaco Grand Prix. You gotta break it up. Is it the party, or is it the race?
I think it's both. They flow so well into each other. It's a real...
Yes.
Like, I like it. It's so... I think it's something that's going to be a kind of a theme, but I like when superheroes and stuff are just people, just, like, walking around, and then, like Tony's obviously having trouble with his Palladium stuff, and then he's just like, all right, here we go, let's go out and do this thing. Let's go out and, like, just go to Monaco, and then we'll drink and stuff. It's like, I don't know, it's cool, I like that stuff. Like, having to get a table or whatever in the back, and having to do interviews with reporters, like, that's, I like that. I like the realism of it. I like the madness of it. That's just me.
And the reporter appearing again from the first one to here. Yep. Her cameo appearance. Something. And
gotta have that cameo.
And if and toward it, actually introducing who the weasel, that fucker, fuckface.
Justin Hammer.
Yeah. This asshole who he is.
He's such a good asshole, though. He plays it so well.
Yeah, I guess he's pretty good. Now, Tony maybe feels about him, we learn, which is not very well.
Yeah, I could have used another scene just to establish a rivalry before this, just to establish like what their actual relationship is before all this other stuff. But I know we gotta keep it moving.
I guess, so. But I don't think Tony views this as a rivalry. It's just a Hammer thing, so it doesn't really need to take place in the movie.
True, yeah.
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 I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a good scene.
It's a good scene. And then I like the fight scene at Monaco, too. That's a good, like... It's a good moment.
But then we also learn our first inkling that maybe something's not right when he's in the bathroom and he's testing his blood.
Yep. And that testing the blood thing becomes kind of a theme throughout this whole movie of, like, toxicity level 25%. And it's slowly rising throughout the movie. I think that's a good way to show that. Tony is slowly... It's both showing that, like, Tony's getting very... sick, but also Tony's self-destructing himself at the same time, and it gets worse around that stuff. The higher his blood toxicity level is, the more he's drinking, the more he's partying, the more he's being, like, not a good person. I like that. I like like there's this theme of continually running of increasingly destroying yourself from both sides. Your own actions destroying yourself, but also unable things control actions. Yeah. Anyway. I don't remember anything else after that. There's a prison scene that's not my favorite in the world.
Well, I just want to say it's funny how they this taking place during the Monaco race, and Monaco is probably one of the hardest races in the F1 circuit. So that's fun. Anyways.
Also, Tony Stark is apparently competitive in the Monaco race. Like, he's not in the back of the pack, which is weird. That's a weird disrespecting F1 drivers, I guess. But Tony Stark can just go out there and do it. He can just go out there and be middle of the pack F1 driver when he wants to. It's weird.
Venom, how did you feel about the fight scene? The first fight scene. Another thing in this movie, there's very little action. There's only three scenes, I guess. And the second one's kind of not really a scene, but.
It's something I didn't remember that Iron Man 2 was very not action-y. In comparison to the first, I feel like the first movie had more action scenes, just generally.
I mean, the Iraqi sequence was pretty much all action. Like, a lot of it was action, so yeah. This one, the beginning, there's literally nothing to the 30 minutes in.
And tension. Maybe it's a tension thing, too. It felt like there was a lot more tension in the first one. Like, there was a lot more stakes, where this one kind of feels more relaxed. Like, you're not really worried about Mickey Rourke winning, ever. It doesn't ever feel like he's going to do something. It just kind of feels like he's wandering around, and I don't know. It doesn't have that great sense of tension the first movie had.
Throwing billion-dollar F1 cars. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, 100 million. It's more like...
Also, how did he get on the F1 track with all that? Like, I just want to know, how did he get from Russia to the F1 track? How did he know Tony was going to be at the F1 track and racing? It's fucking weird. I still don't understand.
Yeah, Marvel movie. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean...
Sends in a disbelief. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, I don't know. After that,
Do you like his weapons? I don't know. His villainy? I don't know. What do you think of him?
I think he's... good. I thought he was a different character than he was. I think he was. I thought he was like Red Tornado or something like that, or Red Cyclone. I forget what the name is from the comics, but I don't think he is that. I think he looks good, but I would have liked a little bit more color on him when he gets his full like gear. I'd like a little bit more. I don't know, differences. That would be cool. So a little bit more color differences.
And I did not like the part where they're running him over the car. That made me set the line between too goofy, honestly.
Yep.
That didn't really work for me, but yeah.
I like Tony Stark's, like, briefcase suit. I liked his briefcase Iron Man suit a lot. I like that idea of just, like, here's a briefcase filled with your Iron Man suit. Put it on. It's like, what? I like that. But I also like, I don't know. After that point, I can't think of another scene... that I'm really like, wow, bye, you know, that I really want to talk about. Do you have any ones after that?
I don't know. It's like, I think, yeah, like next 15 minutes is kind of like nothingness. But then I like the part where between him and the black military guy, who's the bad actor. And
Nick Fury?
No, the little black guy in the
scene. Oh, right. Sure, the party scene. Right, yes.
The party scene, not so much. It's kind of weird. But the part afterwards where they're... He's drunk, and then they have a fight with the Iron Suit. Well,
yeah, the party scene was fucking really weird because, like, I mean, it's so affecting him slowly kind of disintegrating because I feel like it's a role, right? Like I think I mentioned this, but like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. definitely dealt with substance abuse issues and like being a party animal there for a while. So like, this is it's weird. It's so perfectly cast in a way, like him being able to it strikes me so well that he's just self-destruct. Like he knows how to act that because he lived it. That's all I don't know. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's just I like his extreme downfall thanks to his alcoholism, which he's using to mask his being poisoned. But yeah.
Yep. The fight scene between him and Rhodey is good. Rhodey played now by, instead of by the other actor that played him in the first movie, is now played by Don Cheadle as James Rhodes, or War Machine, is the comic book character War Machine, which is cool. I like the War Machine fight. That's a good fight. I like that he asked the DJ to play him some funky beats while he beats up his friend. That's a funny moment. And then he loses. He loses badly. Iron Man loses this fight, and Rhodey takes the suit. Thoughts?
What? Yeah. Again, I like it. Sorry, we're still talking about that one scene. What?
Yep. I like Don Cheadle more than I like the other actor for Rhodey. But that's maybe
just. Was Rhodey the guy, the best friend of Tony Stark?
Yep, okay. The best friend of James Rhodey, Rhodes, War Machine.
Okay, I don't. But okay, he's a bad actor.
You don't like his actor more than the other one from the first movie?
He's a bad actor.
Oh, you don't like Don Cheadle?
No, fuck John Cheadle.
John Cheadle? Okay, it's not his.
So this, I don't know. I kind of like the scene at the donut shop where.
Yes, that's my favorite scene in this movie, 100%. Mostly because I'm a big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. guy, and I like the scene. I like Nick Fury. I like Nick Fury a lot. I like Samuel L. Jackson. I like that interaction in the donut scene where he's like, he took your suit? He walked into your house and just took it? Like, what? I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, yes. Oh, no, I kind of like how he's in the shoot. At this donut shop. He's like, what's up?
Please exit the donut. That's a pretty good line, too. There's a lot of good lines at the donut scene. And I like his, like, hey, your dad is actually not that bad of a guy. You need to start, like, looking at your life. You're falling apart. I like that Nick Fury is telling Tony, like, hey, you've got some serious problems here. You need to start figuring some stuff out rather than putting it off. I like that. Howard Stark, you know, was not a great father, I guess, to a certain extent, but...
But he loved his son a little less. He was too busy.
He still loved his son. Sure. He just was Tony Stark, but, like, in the 50s. So, like, of course he doesn't have time for his son.
He was too busy finding a new element, to find ways to find renewable resources, energy, something.
He was a co-founder of S.H.I.E.L.D., Howard Stark was, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. And then you get kind of like a Tony Stark, it's like a coming of, I don't like it, it's like a moment of, like none of the scenes then with Justin Hammer or anything do anything for me. Like all the, let's make this, let's have, let's break this guy out of jail and have him make the suit. Like none of those scenes.
Hey, you want a bird? Here's a bird.
Yeah, like what the fuck? Like why are you showing us that? Like it doesn't matter, just show us something different. I don't know. Like, it would have been a fun little thing if there was a bird in a cage then in one scene, but to have it be a whole scene of, like, giving this dude a bird is fucking weird. I forget the sequence of events here. It's like, Tony has to, he's watching old movies, watching old Stark industry.
So, he gets a crate from the Black Fury with all his dad's stuff in it. So, He goes through all his dad's notes and then watches the film canister from them when he was a child. Then afterwards, he goes to apologize to Betty.
Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts. And then he sees the thing. Then he sees the city demonstration thingy in the office. And gets idea to bring it back and then examine it. And by examining it, he discovers the new element because that's how things work.
He's super smart. He's like, wait a minute, something's weird about this thing. This doesn't look right. And then he figures it out.
Yeah, this whole scene is fucking, I don't know. Between great and not great whatsoever. Like, him using holograms to, like, dissect this town thingy, model.
Model.
And then using it to, like, oh no, it's like a nucleus, so it's going to do some things. And oh, look, it's a new element. I'm like, how do you come to this whatsoever? It's so dumb.
It's like, I love it because the holograms, like, it looks really good. Like, I like the fucking hologram stuff, but, like, it feels so much like in, like, CSI or, like, NCIS, where it's like, Just move it. It's just jumbo tech talk. It's just like, here you go. We got to do this thing. We got to fucking spin it and then examine it and to make it closer, make it farther away. And oh my God, did we see the thing? It's like, I don't know. It feels very tech mumbo jumbo.
So then he has to find the element. You know, his robot buddy says, AI says he can't. He does it because he's smart. So then he has a new element and apparently. Just coincidentally, it's a perfect replacement for the palladium he has in his reactor in his chest.
It's weird, too, because they never really give it a name or anything. It kind of feels like plot convenience in a way. Like, he makes this new element. And, I don't know. I feel like it would have been a more effective plot if it had been, I don't know, something different than that. But, I don't know. I like that it's Howard Stark that helps him out, because it says a lot about, like, his character and some character growth stuff, but, man, They don't do a good job of making me believe that. I'll just say that much.
So then the next and probably the final sequence is the next Tony Expo. Or is it a Tony Expo?
It's the Stark Expo.
Stark, if you say so. If you say so. And then it's this where Mr. Hammer. Mr. Hammer came. He's swimming.
Here's a bunch of different corps of the military. Here's the Marines. Some pelvic thrust. I don't understand it.
Yeah, because these fucking old ass white men will really love bringing in robots instead of using humans. Okay. Sorry.
But then we also have to have an Iron Man suit, which makes no sense to me. But there will always be a role for man in war.
But it has a mini change gun on it, so.
It's a fucking pretty sweet big minigun, by the way. Can I be honest with you? Ooh, I like that big fucking minigun so much. I don't know. It's cool. It's a cool little... I like that. That's the only other Justin Hammer scene in this whole movie that I like. It's like him just like, here's the fucking Marines! And he just slowly pelvic thrusts to it. Let's be like, what? I couldn't imagine myself watching that at Disney, but then again, who knows? It's a fun thing. And then a big fight happens. As you might imagine, Russian guy triggers his drone Iron Man's, and it's a big fight scene. Lots of people die.
Like, not really. They go out of the way to make sure people don't die. Like, people are getting out of these cars.
There's certainly people dying, though. I mean, there's certainly some deaths that occur.
I mean, sure, but it's not as many as you're trying to make it seem to be. Maybe.
No, I mean, I'm not making it seem like Man of Steel, where Superman fucking flies through buildings and stuff and kills people all the time. It's more like, you know, there's some real casualties. I feel like this is a scene where it's like, whoa, people are really getting, this is getting fucked up here a little bit. It's a good scene of that stuff. Like, there's some real destruction and stuff happening. Then, like,
yeah,
oh, right.
I don't know. There's a lot of parts of this scene, but I was like, I don't think I enjoy this whatsoever. Like, none of the robots seem that threatening. Like, all the drones, they don't seem that threatening whatsoever. It just happens because, I don't know. I don't know why Tony's not, like, fighting them right off the bat. Other than he doesn't want the, like, civilian casualties or something. But then he's going to go on his way to go to a dissolute area right away. So, I don't know. This whole seems, like, very weird. Like, seems long for the sake of it.
Yeah, it feels long just to have Black Widow and Jon Favreau run over to wherever they're keeping Mickey Rourke and stop his and do his hack stuff or whatever. I like that scene more than I like all the Tony Stark scene, fight scene stuff here. Because fucking Black Widow just tears these people apart! Also, like, hangs a bunch of private security guards on, like,
all
whips
right.
and stuff.
You're right. She just killed two people right there.
Yeah. Fucking hangs the dude. Did you see that once? And then I like it as a, like, Jon Favreau has to, like, fist fight this one dude while she takes care of, like, 15 other guys. It's real good.
None of them have guns, because, you know, that's how illegal businesses work.
Does she have a gun? She does have a gun. But why didn't she use it if she's gonna, I don't know.
Also, there's a whole, what's ridiculous scene, is part of this whole movie where it's a little kid with the Iron Man helmet on. The robot mistakes him for the actual Iron Man and is about to kill him. The kid's not doing anything. He's standing there with his helmet on and just, like, hanging out. Like, okay.
It's, like, to establish that Mickey Rourke doesn't know how to program things well or something. Like, it's weird. It seems like he's controlling them at some point, but then it also seems like some of them are autonomous. That's weird. After that, it's like, so she eventually hacks out War Machine so that Tony Stark's friend can help him out. And then they land in, like, a Japanese garden, like a very anime Japanese garden where, like, they're just, I don't know, it just feels like, I guess it's a World of Tomorrow or whatever garden. It's like a tour of the world thing. That's weird that they land in this Japanese garden. Very moe, is what I want to say.
Did that fight scene, which they're very easily killed, these fucking drones, so it's like, thanks for killing all this suspense, I guess, I don't know. Like, he uses the move at the very end that usually kills everybody, but chooses not to use it to the very end. It's cool.
Also, it's, like, weird because they're talking about getting up on the hill, but the things can fly, so why is it... don't know, it's weird. It's like, they can fly. Hill superiority is not going to really do it for you here. He went on just that. Not how I would have done the scene, or the fight scene, but... Then Mickey Rourke comes in, and he's like, yo, dog, I got these whips, son. And I defeat him with the power of friendship, which I thought that was funny.
Sure, funny.
It's funny, like, oh man, we're friends again, let's both shoot each other with our guns like we did in that one scene, and blow them up. But then Mickey Rourke has his underlying scheme of, I put bombs in everything, there's bombs in everything, it's all gonna blow up.
And then Tony quickly figures out, oh, there's that one near this building. I'm sure Pepper is going to be nearby. So
right next to it, standing on it, fucking laying on top of this thing. I got to get over there before it blows her up. God damn it. Why does she like to lay on robots all day?
Oh, I know why. Iron Man's human, right?
Lady killer, if you know what I'm saying. Then they, like, have, like, a romance scene, and then Rhodey's like, yeah, I'm gonna take this suit, and then flies off, and he becomes War Machine now. It's fucking weird.
Wait, really?
It's fucking weird.
Oh. What? Is he not in the military anymore?
That's a question I wonder about as well. Is he not in the military anymore? Does he not want the military to test his weapon?
I don't know. I just see Iron Man 3. I don't know what's up.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
What happens? We'll see maybe in two movies. Not third. Just
three movies.
Three movies.
So yeah.
So we have another scene where he's talking about being initiated in the adventures, and your favorite character, whatever his name is,
Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury.
Nope, the other one, Coulson.
Oh, the senator.
No, Coulson.
Coulson.
His report says the Iron Man suit totally should be Tony Stark. Maybe not. So I'm assuming that's going to change after Iron Man 3. I don't know. I'm just speculating over here. So
you're just speculating? Okay.
And then they have the scene at the very last scene where
where Coulson is. Oh, are you talking about the other one? Very last scene before the.
No, okay. No, you're talking about Coulson's scene again. I thought it was over, but I thought it was going. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, what's the last scene? I'm trying to think.
I'm saying there's scene before the credits is the one where the two are getting awarded by the.
Right, by the senator. I thought that was a funny scene. It's fucking so silly.
Yeah, that was cute, yeah. But then there was a post-credit teaser where Coulson goes to New Mexico, where he said he was earlier, and finds the Thor hammer.
God, I love Coulson! Oh, he's so good! Oh, it's so good! It's like, it's so Men in Black, but like, in the Marvel Universe with superheroes, I love it so much. Oh my god.
Yeah, I love characters who die, but then gets magically resurrected.
Well, the fucking comic books, though, you know? Like, what?
It's fair. You're not wrong.
That's what comic books are, man. People come back, and it's like, never, their characters never die. It's a beautiful thing. There's so many books and stuff where characters, like, it's the thing I have a problem with the MCU, and I think we'll see it going forward. Like, why did Mickey Rourke have to blow himself up in this movie? Like, why not just put him in jail or something like that? It's like, there's so much media is all about that already. It's so much about, like, kill the villain, destroy the thing. I like comic books because they're very, like, let's keep these characters alive and keep telling interesting stories with them and kind of keep it all fluid. I mean, there's certainly issues with that, especially with, like, relationship stuff where they'll kind of keep people miserable or whatever.
Like, the Joker, some might say.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, come on, like, at a certain point you gotta move on, right? Like, and they do, like, give him credit. Superman has a kid now and is married, and they're very happy together, and there's, like, a decent sense of that in comic books as well, where they at some point realize, okay, we have to progress these characters to a certain extent. But I like a story that doesn't end. I like having comic books be that, and I kind of wish these movies would do that with more characters. Like, let's fucking keep Mickey Rourke alive and put him in a jail somewhere. And that's why I like Coulson so much, because he's just like a straight-up comic book character. He's just like, I'm fucking a Man in Black, but I'm in the Marvel Universe. I'm a cool fucking dude. I enjoy hot rods. Anyway, yeah.
I guess, though, I don't think Mickey Rourke's character is very good in this movie. The character even has a name.
Ivan Blanco.
That's a very good villain name.
Is it?
No, I'm being sarcastic here. A dog.
I don't even know what is he like. He's Whiplash in the comic books. Get it? Because he has whips on his arms.
So yeah, that's the movie.
So that's Iron Man 2. Overall thoughts? What did you think of it?
I actually really liked it. I think I liked it more than one.
Really?
Oh no! Like talking about it, I probably like it less because the action scenes I think are pretty not good. Definitely.
And there's big chunks of this movie we didn't really talk about where it's like just boring Justin Hammer in a fucking factory stit or whatever. And
those are not very long. There's like 5 minutes total. Like, But I don't know. I did like the middle sections with Tony and his struggling and his beginning. And, I don't know. I liked it.
It feels like a different movie. It feels more like a Marvel connected movie than it did. Like Iron Man 1 feels very much like, hey, we have this character. Let's tell this really great story. But then this movie felt more like, all right, we're doing this Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. Let's do it. Let's get this all together. Let's make this thing. Let's connect these characters up a bit. And that's cool. Widen the universe, if you will. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I would say it better than Iron Man 1. I think it's not as good as Iron Man 1, just because some of the middle stuff is a little boring. But I think it's perfectly fun movie. It's a fun, good movie. I've watched it a lot because it's on TV all the time, and I fucking watch this movie a lot. So I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, it's good. Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
Let's rank this movie. Here we go, folks. Number one, so for the status so far is number one, Iron Man. Number two, The Incredible Hulk. The Amazing. Well, it's The Incredible Hulk? I don't know if I wrote that down right. It's the Hulk movie. I'm going to put it in between, in my opinion. It's like, Iron Man 1 was really, really good. And then this one is number two. And then Hulk is number three. Hulk is the worst Marvel movie at this moment, in my opinion. Do you think that's right with you? Do you think that sits right with you? It's going to get hard, by the way, at some point. Once we start getting a lot of these, it's going to get real hard. I like Iron Man 1 a lot, so.
It's like, the problem with Iron Man 1 is I think it gets too dark. It's definitely dark, but I think Iron Man 2 does a much better job with the levity. Iron Man 1 is fucking like the Afghanistan war and like being trapped, being captured. I don't know.
I just feel like Iron Man 1 is so strong. As a movie, it feels very like standalone-ish. Whereas this one somewhat relies on some of the other stuff, and I don't know. I just didn't like this one as much as I liked one. Like the opening of one is fucking amazing. It's so good. It's so good.
I don't know about that, but I mean, by the end of the day, I'm going to agree with you. This is definitely Iron Man 1 is going to be above Iron Man 2, but I think it's closer than what you're saying. For me personally.
Oh, no, I mean, I think it's close. I think it's much closer than people give it credit for. I think it's very close. I think it's like a 9 and an 8, you know? It's like a real close fucking 1 point off kind of thing. I like it a lot. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a good movie. It's better than Hulk, certainly. Without a doubt. I wonder where we'll end up by the end of this. I wonder where our thoughts will be on this one. Interesting. Okay, well, thank you again for doing this with me, Pop. This has been our thoughts on Iron Man 2. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Next movie on the list, Thor 1. Oh boy, are you ready for Thor 1, Pop? Great. I'm glad you have gastric distress, because that's my thoughts on Thor 1 as well. All right, I've been Albie. This has been...
Ollie? Hey, Ollie, what's up?
I've been Ollie. I've been Ollie, Oliver Queen. And this has been Ivan Blanco, Mr. Popcans. Thank you for joining us on Marvel. Who's the better Marvel? Something. Fucking get it at some point. Don't you worry.